This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing we are tracking and still have no news, we've had some people tweet the show, and we're still waiting with anticipation on a Guardians TV deal. So we do have a bit of an update that I saw a lot of people were running with yesterday, and we can confirm as we put it on our cable box. We have Spectrum here at 92.3 The Fan. And on 1306, there is a station that does right now have a Guardians graphic on it.
Yeah.
That is the only programming that we see, and it is called CLEG.
Yeah, Clegg.
Clegg. That's what it is right now. That's all we know. That's all we know. There's been nothing official. We also know that Armstrong customers in Northeast Ohio will be watching the Guardians games this season as they reached a multi-year deal with Major League Baseball to carry 150 games this season. Who has Armstrong? It says here Medina, Maslin, Ashland, Boardman, and in other areas. So they have a deal. Remember, this is not the Guardians negotiating this, which I guess is important to point out because everybody is crushing the Guardians. How have you not announced this? They are waiting too. The Guardians are like, yeah, we hope somebody tells us because it's Major League Baseball right now that is doing this.
I do think in the long term, this is better for the game and this is better for baseball. But in the short term, this is really ugly and messy. Trying to figure this out.
Well, it's horrible for a payroll, first off, when you lose your income like that. And then it's horrible for, you know, people trying to get in. I talked about it. We cut the cord at the end of last baseball season. So I'm just buying the app because that's what makes the most sense for us.
Yeah.
And I was always staunchly like, there's a way to go get it. You can get cable, you know, for the people that were having trouble finding calves and stuff like that that had been cord cutters. Well, now there's... That's the way to go get it is to pay the extra $100. And I get if you are on a fixed income and you're already paying X amount of dollars for a cable package where you feel like you should be getting everything.
Right.
It does suck. We've got, 8 hours until first pitch? I'm hoping
it's
in kinda, the next
it's
8 hours
nuts.
They figure that out.
It's kind of nuts that we're
but
8 hours.
We talked about yesterday, though, Jason. How many times has football been blacked out on a certain channel here
that's
only
the 11th
through
hour.
One cable provider, and then at the 11th hour they get it fixed.
Right.
Yeah. You're in the middle of the NFL pregame show when it happens.
But this is an entire season about to begin.
Yeah.
And you don't know where to watch the games. It's totally nuts. And like I get it. It sucks. It's terrible. I do think in the long term this is better But boy, right now it sure looks messy.
All right. Good news is we will have baseball. Whether or not we'll be able to see it is another question. Tanner Bibee on the hill. That first pitch is slated at 4:10, Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Beautiful day. Beautiful baseball day. It's going to look weird seeing guys in temperatures in the 80s there in Kansas City. But we are looking forward to it. So stay locked in, 923 The Fan. As soon as we hear something, we will certainly relay that to you. 216-474-0092. Jason Lloyd in for Kenny. So the numbers are drastic. The drop-off for Donovan Mitchell and for Darius since February. So we're talking about a significant sample of the season, almost a quarter of the season now, that their numbers have fallen off a cliff. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell dealing with the groin. Darius, some people are wondering if it was that hit he took from Karl Anthony Towns in the Knicks game. But even if I go before that, the shooting had started to drop off, and they've both just been different players. Now, nobody really knows, unless you're closely paying attention, Jason, because what? Because they went on another win streak. And yeah, they had the four-game losing streak, but they also built another huge win streak. So how concerned are you that, you know, Donovan, Darius have not been the elite backcourt that they were, you know, the first half of the year?
Not at all. Like, this is more just regression to the mean than anything, I think, because these guys were shooting so well for so long. They look like the 2016 Golden State Warriors for a while, and they're like, where is this coming from?
But Darius was better than Steph Curry, you know, up until that point. And he had the second best efficiency numbers in the league for anybody in the backcourt.
And Darius is still shooting the second best percentage of his career from three.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
I get it.
Like, no, they haven't shot it well. And by the way, if they shoot this poorly a month from now it's a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're having entirely
time to
different.
Figure it out.
Yeah, there's always time in the NBA. Say it all the time. You always have time, and as long as you are getting good shots in rhythm, you have to live with the results. You're not going to make every shot, and like shooting slumps are a thing, and it's a real thing. But there's the way that the Cavs play offensively this year is so different than what they were playing in years past. And some of the creativity that they have with the screen action, with off-ball movement, they're playing in ways that they never did before, and they are creating a ton of great looks. And you have to sort of live with the results. And Kenny talks about this all the time, about like quality shots, and they have their own analytics where they go back after the game and they look at quality shots. And if you're getting a high percentage of quality shots, then you just have to sort of live with the results. And that may not be the answer that people want to hear, but you know, how many times you heard guys say it's a make or miss league? And it is. You can have a wide open three in rhythm, great look at it, and it bounces out. Like, that's just basketball. That's just the way it goes. But if you're getting those looks consistently and you're getting into your offense and you're getting the looks you want, and they're not falling in March, I'm not really going to care. Now, a month from now, obviously, then it's time to have a different conversation. But right now, it's a big nothing
burger. Look, Darius's numbers in the playoffs and against Boston have been terrible. They just have throughout his whole career. And he's only played, I'm not making it sound like he's played in a ton of playoff games, but 17.
Right.
But length bothers him. The physicality of the playoffs bothers him. And of course, we know he's going to get picked on defense. You know, that's just a reality. And you're seeing more of that, by the way, second half of the year.
Yeah.
You are seeing teams just kind of search and destroy him and go after him and try to break down the Cavs defense like that. Now, they've had a lot of other defensive issues. And I think a lot of that will be solved come playoff time because I just think they're bored. And I think they had, you know, tired legs when they were on the West Coast. But that is something I am watching. Donovan, I know that if he's healthy, and even if he's on one leg, he's going to have some masterful playoff performances. Darius, I can't say that. 216-474-0092. Jeffrey in Cleveland. Go ahead.
Yeah, everybody knows. This is what I want to say to you. You might not agree, but everybody knows the West Coast is running gun. If you're going to the West Coast tired and on one leg, they got to run you out the gym. Everybody knows that. It's been like that since the beginning of basketball. I don't know if the coach actually gets it that Donovan and Darius, you don't have to score 50 points against losing teams to win because we got a strong team. They had the same problem at the beginning of the season. They're having that same problem now. Donovan out of fuel. Darius can't make shots because he's tired.
Yeah, but Donovan, I think, Jeffrey, thanks for the call. I think Atkinson has been brilliant.
Yeah.
With his managing
the
of minutes this year.
Least amount of minutes he's ever played.
Right. So
minutes, Donovan's minutes in particular was a very sensitive subject the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we gave Donovan so much credit because how many stars, with all the ego of these stars and how they constantly monitor their stats, you have kind of an egoless star on your team in Donovan Mitchell, which is so rare in that league where he doesn't care that his minutes have been slashed and his production has
This is a career
fallen.
Low in minutes. He's playing the fewest minutes of his career this year by a lot. He was up over 35 his first 2 years in Cleveland. He was over 35. He's down to 31. That's a significant difference.
Jeff in University Heights, next up.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up?
And thanks, first of all, for answering my question. I was going to ask you, did the Guardians have something with DirecTV yet? Because that's what I have. But
I have DirecTV, too. I just did a quick glance through the guide. I don't see anything yet. Hopefully. Clock's ticking. You got 8 hours.
Right. I wanted to ask you guys this question about the Cavs. So if you remember in 2014, 2015, the Warriors had what they called the death lineup when they were the first to go small ball with Draymond, Harrison Barnes, Clay, Steph,
Iggy,
and Iguodala. Do you think the Cavs can run a similar tight lineup, especially when they made that comeback against Boston in the stretch of a playoff game, assuming both teams are healthy when they play the Celtics?
I'm not going to call it a death lineup. I think that's okay. Overused. But they can play the Hunter. The piece that I didn't give enough credit to when they first made the Hunter trade was the way that it can change their style when you put DeAndre at the four and Evan at the five.
Right.
And you can play five out, which is something that they've never been able to do before. It sends Jarrett to the bench, but that's okay.
Right.
So when you can put five shooters on the floor and spread the floor like that, they are really, really hard to guard. Would I want to play an entire game like that? No. Does it work at the right moment? Yes.
I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying, down in stretch time or crunch time, all those other cliches,
right?
A lineup of Jerome, Mitchell, Hunter, Wade, and Mobley, especially against Boston, because the way Boston likes to target guys, you've got multiple guys that then you have length with that kind of lineup. To your point, Jason, all of those guys is Mobley.
Oh, did we lose him?
All right, thank you for the call. Sorry about that. I get what he's saying, and I do think this Cavs team can play many different ways.
Yes.
And they're a lot more versatile than they were. And I love defensively how, okay, they'll start Max Strus, whatever. But, you know, if Boston is getting that typical edge,
you're
that
not
they'll
starting.
Get,
they better not start Max against Boston in the playoffs.
I think they are.
I don't. You better not.
I'm surprised we're still even talking about it. And I mean, Max has actually been, for all the trolling I do on Max, Max has played very well.
He's been great.
He's actually shot the ball better, and he tries so hard. He plays so hard defensively.
They benched Kevin Love against Golden State.
Yeah,
you can bench Max Strus.
It's weird. He started every game he's
but
ever played with the Cavs.
I don't. But it's March. I don't care. I don't care what lineup they run out there in the regular season. The playoffs are different, and I think that you'll see different lineups. It'll be matchup dependent on who they're playing.
I just think Darius, Donovan, and Max, that's a bad combination defensively.
Absolutely. Against Boston, you can't play that way.
Yeah.
I don't think. Not in a seven-game series. Maybe game one. I don't think by game five and six that's a lineup. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, what a beautiful day. Opening day for baseball in Kansas City. Still waiting on a TV deal. Of course, we'll tell you when we hear anything. Also, Cavaliers back in action. So nice double dip today. And pro days abound. We've got all sorts of rumors swirling about the NFL.
I was just going to say, DirecTV does have a channel listed.
Oh, they do?
662.
Oh, I didn't see it.
They also say that Tristan McKenzie is a starting pitcher. So I don't know how much you want to take.
Take that for what it's worth. Yeah. Beautiful. What a great time to bring in Mary Kay Cabot, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. She'll also be down in Florida for the owners' meetings. Is that in Palm Beach, Mary Kay?
Yes, it is in Palm Beach. So looking forward to that. The weather forecast looks a little bit rainy, but we will be inside most of the time anyway. So we will make do.
And you'll get a chance to talk to the owner of the Cleveland Browns, Jimmy Haslam. First chance that anybody will get to have him on record after the Myles Garrett saga finally came to an end, Mary Kay. I know you're looking forward to that.
Yes, absolutely. So we will have a sit down with Dee and Jimmy Haslam at some point. And when I say we, I mean the local Browns beat writers that will be going down there. And it's usually about five or six of us. And then we will have a similar sit down with Andrew Berry. So these are unique opportunities to talk to these people in that small setting without the rest of the world around and get to ask them pretty much anything that we want. So that's great. And then we'll have Kevin Stefanski at the coach's breakfast on Monday. And then the following day, you can talk to NFC coaches. So it's really a wealth of information down there. I always look forward to it. And the content coming out of there should be pretty good.
When is the gala?
The gala is Monday night, so we need the rain to hold off. It's one of the best things of the year for they allow our little NFL reporters
to
mingle with the billionaires and the coaches and the GMs. I mean, it is unbelievable. It's a party like you cannot even imagine. It's usually out on a lawn. It is just what you would expect from a bunch of billionaires.
The NFL is the most buttoned-up league of all of them, but when it opens, it really opens because the other sports don't have anything like that. It's that first time I went to that gala, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, there's Robert Kraft with his 17-year-old girlfriend, and there Bill Belichick will be this year with his 22-year-old girlfriend.
Speculation.
18 in a day.
And
sorry.
You know you're just 3 miles away from
Lloyd that said that.
You're 3 miles away from Mar-a-Lago, Mary Kay. So who knows what you could be doing for entertainment coming up this weekend. All right, Mary Kay with us right now. So you've been all over it. The Jimmy Haslam, Andrew Berry, their special workout. So I was curious why they didn't just go and have their special workout after the pro day for Cam Ward down in Miami, and then allowing them to go up to Ohio State for the big pro day that everybody seemed to be at yesterday. So obviously they had representatives at both. Could you describe maybe the logic and what the Browns were trying to accomplish?
Well, I just think that they want to really spend as much quality time as they possibly can with a few of their top prospects. So they're going to do these private workouts with Shador, with Cam. I'm sure they'll probably do one with Travis and Abdul. I don't know who's on the list anymore. Maybe after we talk to them this weekend. But they want to spend that one-on-one time and really, really get to know these top prospects because that they're putting a huge emphasis on how the quarterback in particular is going to be the face of the franchise and the leader of this football team. This team has been through a lot with quarterbacks in recent years, well, of course, since they've come back since 1999, but you just go from Johnny Manziel to Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson. So they want to make sure that they get it right from a culture fit, and that's why they're doing this. As far as why they didn't just do it surrounding the pro day, well, I think he also had been meeting with the Titans right around then too. So you schedule it the way that you can do it, and they're kind of going outside the box a little bit, and I really have no problem with that.
Mary Kay, we played the clip earlier of Adam Schefter. I know you heard it about him talking about the Titans are basically saying they're open to listening on offers for the first pick. That tells me that the first pick is for sale. Whether or not a team wants to pay the price to come up and get it is a different conversation. But I read that as they're not sold on Cam as the quarterback. And frankly, why should they be? Their coaches have a little bit more security and their front office has a little bit more security than the teams drafting at 2 and 3. Do you think I'm way off on that, or do you think there's something to it?
Well, there's a lot of gamesmanship, as we know, that happens at this time of year. But if they are saying that they are open to that, and many teams do at this time of year say that they're open to trading the number one pick, a lot of teams will do that. But I do think that they are open for business, and I think that teams should make them an offer that they can't refuse if they want Cam Ward. And I really do think that the Browns should be one of those teams. If they love Cam Ward and they have him ranked significantly ahead of Shador or any other quarterback, then they should absolutely do whatever it takes to get him. It doesn't matter what happens in the draft the next year or the next year after that if you have your franchise quarterback. They're elusive. They're hard to find. If you feel like you have one within your grasp and within your reach, then you go for it and you be aggressive and you do whatever it takes to get him.
Are you getting a gut instinct at all on what they think the gap is between Cam Ward and Shador Sanders and how that would really impact their plans at number two overall?
No, I don't have a great handle on that yet, because at this time of year, even the teams at the top who are trying to get other clubs to come up and maybe give them something are going to put out a lot of misinformation. We're going to be hearing, and you guys are already seeing it. I mean, there are so many things swirling around the Browns. Oh, they're taking Abdul Carter. They're taking Shador. They're trading down. They're not going to go quarterback at number two, right? We've heard all of this within the last couple of weeks, and some of it comes from within the team itself. That's just how this works. They know how to create all kinds of confusion surrounding their pick. So even if someone is so confident that they had a good source inside the organization that told them something, they can almost guarantee it's a lie. at this time of year, that's what happens. You do what you have to do. All is fair in love and draft. It doesn't matter what anybody's telling you. You have to take everything with a grain of salt. So, no, I don't know exactly how they have these quarterbacks ranked, and we aren't going to know until they tell us on draft night, oh, Shador was always our guy, and dating all the way back since he was born, and, you know, Deion was changing his diaper, we knew that he was our guy. I mean, right?
Yeah,
That's how it goes.
No, I said that earlier. I think the Browns have done a great job of spinning everyone, because there's no two stories seem to align these days on what they're thinking, and that's probably how it should be. But I do wonder, I think that this draft could have a lot of volatility to it, just because there doesn't seem to be any sort of consensus on the rankings of these quarterbacks. I just feel like something's going to happen, or two or three somethings are going to happen on draft night, where we all sort of stand up and say, wow, nobody talked about that. We didn't see that coming.
Well, I think what we have seen over the years is the quarterback who is believed to be the best in the class doesn't always turn out to be the best in the class. It happens time and time again. So there are going to be some diamonds in the rough in this class, I believe, and someone is going to be the team viewed as the smart team that got it right. And who that's going to be, it's impossible to predict at this point, because there are so many variables of what makes a quarterback succeed in the NFL, including the environment that you bring them into, the supporting cast that you surround them with, and all of those kinds of things. But it's almost guaranteed that there's a sleeper somewhere in here, and we don't know who it is and who's going to win that lottery. We'll have to see how that goes.
Mary Kay Cabot with us right now on the hotline. What did you make of the pursuit of Russell Wilson, the meeting that they had with him, and how he is signing with the Giants, not the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think he had more of a starting opportunity probably with the Giants, and he had been interested in the Giants before, and I'm sure it also came down to money. They gave him the $10.5 million for this year, and that can increase to $21 million, and he probably really felt that he had more of an opportunity to start there, and maybe he will, maybe he won't, but the Browns, I think, are pretty sure to end up with their quarterback of the future out of this draft. That's where my head is still at, and I'm going to try to stick to that and block out most of the noise and think, okay, the Browns have the number two overall pick. They need a quarterback. Somehow they have to get this figured out. I think that it was probably pretty clear to Russell that if he did win the starting job, that it could be short-lived. And I'm sure also maybe the Giants came through with more money.
Is there? I know the Kirk Cousins thing is out there. It's too messy to even really pick apart. Is there anyone else out there for the veteran market outside of him to pursue? I know the Carson Wentz names comes up. Or is it going to be Kenny Pickett and two young kids?
Well, I still think that they probably will end up with another veteran somehow. And sometimes after the draft, things get shaken up even a little bit more, and someone becomes available, or someone asks for a trade. So at that after that point, Kirk Cousins will probably waive his trade clause, and then we'll see if he is a possibility for them. But if he's going to cost a bunch of money, and you have to give up draft capital for him, I don't know if that's as attractive to you as it was when he was going to be $1.255 million for
the
year.
Totally agree.
Right? So I just don't know if they're going to do that. I think They are planning with an eye towards the future now, and I think this year is going to be about getting their rookie quarterback as much playing time as they possibly can.
Mary Kay, do you think that the handling of the Kirk Cousins situation there in Atlanta threw a wrench in the offseason plans for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think their plans were always to acquire some kind of veteran bridge quarterback. That's still out there and available. Not that there are many left. We've got Carson Wentz, Joe Flacco. I mean, they could end up with one of those guys still. Maybe Kirk Cousins, but again, that's getting a little complicated. So the plan was always veteran and then a young developmental veteran, that's Kenny Pickett, and then your rookie. So I don't think the strategy has changed, and I think once we see how this plays out over the next few weeks, it'll make more sense.
All right, Mary Kay, it's just off-season odds, so you still have a draft, which is pretty big, and some potential free agency moves. But right now, the Browns are pretty much the bottom of the NFL. 4.5 wins on some of these sites. I mean, Myles Garrett, he told everybody all the issues with the Browns. Then, of course, he ends up re-signing with them for the big contract. But what do you think Myles thinks of just this state of affairs? He's got his money now, so I don't think we're going to hear from him again about it. But what do you think he truly believes about the state of affairs?
Well, he seemed to think that they had some kind of a quarterback plan. Joel Bitonio seemed to think that they had some kind of a good quarterback plan. So we don't know exactly what that is yet. And what it better be is the fact that they think Shador or another rookie quarterback can come in here and win games for them in 2025. That's got to be the plan because I don't see what else it is right now. Unless they do think that there is a veteran that can hold down the fort for them for a while. I don't know. I think they must believe that a rookie can get the job done to a degree. Now, if you add a good quarterback that's not going to turn the ball over, if you add a good running back, and this is a good deep running back draft, if they have a running game again, that's going to help everyone. So remember, they turned the ball over more than anyone in the NFL last season. It was ridiculous, or tied, I think. They either tied with the Titans or they had the most with 34. And then they didn't take the ball away. And when you are down in the bottom of the barrel in the turnover differential, you're not winning. So if they can solve those two problems right there, you're already up to 7-8 victories. And then you add a few more key pieces, and who knows, maybe you could even possibly flirt with a wild card spot as you get into December. Maybe that's a pipe dream, but if you can land some kind of a quarterback that can go out there and get the job done way better than what's been happening lately, then I think they can be in business.
When do you think Nick Chubb, I'm not saying in Cleveland, just in general, when do you think Nick Chubb signs?
I think maybe after the draft, when people start to see what they need at the running back position. And again, the door is not slammed shut on Nick Chubb coming back. It's just the fact that they do need to have some kind of a role for him because you don't want to be making him inactive every single week. Are fans going to be happy about that if Nick Chubb can't even make the game day roster? And would Nick be happy about that? That's what they don't want to happen. If they have a role for him, then they will bring him back here. But they wanted to give him an opportunity to see if he could find something out there where someone had a place for him on their football team and would have carries for him. If they find carries for him, they will bring him back.
Mary Kay, enjoy the gala. Thanks for coming on.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mary Kay, going to the owners' meetings. Interesting time there. A lot of news always comes out of those owners' meetings and the chance to catch up with Jimmy Haslam. Right now, they are definitely projecting some sense of confidence about this offseason in which it seems like everybody outside of Cleveland is down on the Browns and their situation, even after the Myles signing. That was Russell Wilson talking about Coach of the Year, all the excitement.
I'm
about
so glad he's not here.
Joining with the Giants. I mean, I am too.
I'm so glad he's not here.
Never really made a lot of sense to
no.
me. Not that a lot of the guys make sense. I mean, you're not going to be thrilled with probably whichever veteran they end up signing.
These are all rusted out, high mileage cars with no mufflers and shoddy transmissions. All of them.
Well, we just had Mary Kay on talk about Russ, why he didn't end up signing with the Browns. He also had this to say at his press conference when it came to the Giants situation, Brian Daboll, the head coach, and the talent.
That's... Yeah, I just think the aggressiveness of Daboll. Dabes has won a Coach of the Year not too long ago. He's a guy that's coached some, you know, greats, and obviously Josh Allen, Tua, you know, Jalen Hurts. And so I'm excited to play with him. The opportunity to play for him. I know a lot of people that know him well, too, and everything else, and vice versa. So I'm excited to get after it.
So it got me thinking. Jason Lloyd in for Kent Carman. We got Anthony Castrovince on opening day right around the corner in 15 minutes. Excited to talk about the Guardians with him. Jason, you know, we have talked for the last 4 years. It seems like every year, the Browns, maybe the most talented team in the history of the franchise. One of the most talented teams in all the NFL. There are a couple of years where I came on and said, yeah, we've got the most talent in the NFL. Was I in homer mode a little bit? Probably. Did I get swept up in their building of the roster? I looked this morning, and they are dead last in the AFC and tied for worst in the NFL with their win total. Now, I know they haven't had the draft yet, and free agency is still going on, technically. But, Jason, what happened to all the talent? What happened to all the talent with the Browns? I know that Nick Chubb...
It got old and it got hurt.
That quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the
NFL. Does happen fast.
Yeah. Like, that's sort of the point I was making with the Miles column that I wrote a couple weeks ago.
Still trying to defend that thing.
No, but like the contention window with that nucleus has closed. That's just the reality of it. Like Betonio, this is pretty clearly his last year, right? This is Joel's last year. I think it's pretty obvious at this point. And JOK's career is now in jeopardy. And nobody saw that coming. Like nobody, but that's life in the NFL. And Nick got hurt twice. And the knee thing is just debilitating. And Deshaun didn't work. Like, they swung huge, and it didn't work. Well, this is the collateral damage of that not working, is it wrecked the contention window with the group of guys that you have. And contention windows can open fast in the NFL, and they close really fast, too. And that's just that's why it just didn't make sense to me why they're clinging on to a guy who didn't want to be here. Miles didn't lie at all for 2 months. He told you the truth for 2 months about the state of things.
So did he lie when he signed the contract?
Well, then he took the money anyway. I mean, $40 million is $40 million, whatever. I don't blame him for taking the money. But he told you exactly what was going on for a long time. And that's just where they're at. Is they tried. They spent $1 billion on payroll the last 4 years. Over $1 billion in actual cash spent.
God.
I think about that. In 4 years. How many playoff wins did that create? And now you think suddenly you're going to be able to piece this together now? Now? No.
Now, I will say, we have seen in recent years two horrific organizations that have literally turned it around with one quarterback selection. Houston with C.J. Stroud, Washington with Jaden Daniels. I mean, it was instant.
Yeah.
That literally was a Band-Aid on all these issues that those teams had, the organizations had, and ownership concerns. And just like that.
Oh, if you get the quarterback, it fixes 90% of your issues. 100% agree with that.
That's why I'm never completely down in the dumps. In that league, even though it hasn't happened with us, in that league, you can really turn it around in a big way and truly compete.
Now, the Commanders did bring in a bunch of free agents, too, and they overhauled quite a bit. But yes.
And they got a new owner.
And yeah, and that was probably a bigger component of this than people want to give credit for. People just don't realize the importance of ownership in these things. We did a topic on another program that I'm involved with, and it was what is the easiest sport to be a GM in, and what's the hardest sport to be a GM in of the three, NFL, NBA, and MLB. So I texted a couple people who have held that role in different sports just to get their like opinion on it, and they both said the one with the best owner. Like, ownership plays such a big key role in these things that, and we just don't acknowledge or don't talk about it. But that's getting off topic. If the Browns can figure out the quarterback for the first time in 40 years, yes, it will solve a lot of their issues. But I don't have a ton of faith in them doing that right now. And when you look at the rest of the roster, there's a lot of issues with the rest of the roster.
And you know, I get nervous because the good drafting, the good picks that they have made, and Andrew Berry's draft record, granted he hasn't had the number one picks, so it's tough to truly evaluate his drafts, because obviously there's going to be a better hit rate at the, you know, in the first round than there's going to be in the third round.
Yeah,
but let's look at the picks that we thought were good. Martin Emerson, last year statistically? I thought somebody said he was the worst.
He got exposed a little bit last year.
Statistically.
Yeah.
All right, DeJuan Jones, back-to-back season-ending injuries. All right, Mike Hall comes in. He has the unfortunate suspension to start the year and then injured at the end of the year. So those are your talented draft picks, and I can't even pencil them in right now. I certainly can't Sharpie them in as, right. Oh, those are good picks.
Right.
Can't say that right now, unfortunately.
I mean, a fourth rounder on DeJuan, that's sort of a lottery ticket. I actually think they've probably gotten more out of him to this point than you can expect to get out of a fourth rounder, quite honestly. But because they missed on their first rounder that he was here for, you are now in the position where you're counting on him.
I gotta count on him, yes.
And that's a dangerous spot to be in with a guy that's had the weight issues that DeJuan has had in the past. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Like, I say, one of my big things is, like, you should get better at the job the longer you're in it, right? Like, if you're a GM and you struggle with your first draft, okay, it's the first time you were in charge, first time you went through it. You should get better the more time you have in that role. And then you can look at it and say, well, he hasn't had his first-round picks. Well, they're pretty much out of excuses now. Like, you got to nail this. You got your first-round pick. You got a lot of high picks. You got first pick in the second round. You've been doing this long enough. You should know what you're doing. You should know what works and what doesn't. You should be able to learn from your misses in the past at this point. There's really no excuses left.